Okay, we got to the bottom of Kuf Tes Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. The last word is Tanu Rabbanan. It says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Akol Chayavim Ba'arba Kosos Halalu. Everybody is obligated in the midst of Arba Kosos. Echad Anashim Vechad Anashim. We actually did this yesterday, but we'll review it anyways. Whether it's the men are chayv, the women are chayv. Oh, that's why you were turned over. I saw Harry. Yeah, but we did do this yesterday, but we'll finish it anyways. It's quick. Men are chayv, women are chayv, echad tinokos, and also children are chayv. And Amar Yehuda v'chimat toelas yesh l'tinokos b'yayin. What do you mean? Why would the children be chayv in yayin? El mechalkin lahen kalayos ve'agoz ve'er Pesach. Rather, they would give the children out some nuts, as we spoke about yesterday, on Erev Pesach. Kidesh lo yishanu v'yishalu. This way, they don't fall asleep and they stay up to ask questions. So, the Tanakama, who says that the tinokos are actually chayv in the Arba Kosos, what's the reason? Rashbam writes, Shegam heim negalu. They also were redeemed. Rashbam writes in the bottom of Kuf Chesam Bay. They were also redeemed. The mitzvah took place just like Nashim. Av hein ayu bel sarnes. That's why women are chayv. Rashbam says something quite similar. Ketanim were also included in the mitzvah. Rabbeinu David, and one of Rishonim, says, no, they're not chayv be'etz. They're only chayv midin chinuch. Children, the parents have to raise their children in the mitzvah of the Torah, so the chayv midin chinuch. But it sounds like the Rashbam, fundamentally, children are chayv because they too experience the geula. Now, according to Rabbeinu David, who thinks that the Tanakama, the Tinokos, are chayiv because they were involved in the mitzvah, Yehuda says Tinokos are not chayiv in the mitzvah of Tanakos. So what's the machlokas? Doesn't everybody agree this chinuch? And why, if it's talking about in the realm of chinuch, why Rabbi Yehuda say they're pater in yayin? So they, Achronim explain that there's a machlokas whether or not there's a chiv chinuch a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Comes to Mrs. Deraisa, there's certainly Zachiv. However, is there Mrs. Chinuch and Derabanam? That's the Shaila. So Tanakama thinks there is Dal Kosis is a Mrs. Derabanam. So Tanakama thinks that Chinuch does apply to Mrs. Derabanam. Rehuda says they don't apply to Mrs. Derabanam, and that's why Tinokos are not Chayv and Yain. Rather, you just give them out nice candies and treats to keep them up. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Amru Allah about Rabbi Kiva, it was said about Rabbi Kiva, Shehayu Mechalik Klayos Ve'agozim Litinokos Be'er Pesach Kadesh Lo Yishanu V'yishalu. So it was said about Rabbi Kiva that he would do this. He would give out these candies and treats to keep the kids up on Erev Pesach. So says the Gemara further, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Chotvin Mitzvos Matos, rather, B'leilu Pesachim, B'shvil Tinokos Shelo Yishanu. They would be Chotvin Matos. What do you mean Chotvin Matos Leil Pesach? So explains the Rashbam, this is around 10 lines down in the Rashbam, Chotvin Matzah, Magbin es ha-ka'ara, they lift up the plate, B'shvil Tinokos She'eshala, they do these strange things, and particularly raise the plate, so the Tinokos should ask questions. That's one parish. The Ist Mefarsha, others explained, Chotvin Matzah Ochlin Maher, they'd eat it really quickly, they'd stuff their face. Shnei Lashonos, Halal Perish Rabbeinu. That's what he heard from his Rebbe, two different Lashonos. Either they raised the plate, or they ate really, really quickly. Yesh Gorsin Mitzvos, or maybe Matzos, Magbin Es HaKara, maybe Mitzvos is Shvim, Magbin Es HaKara, Sheish Ba Matzo Maro Beis Tavshilin. Some say, no, not Mitzvos, it's in Matzos. They raised the plate, which has all, sorry, I'm keep confusing. The Girsa we have in front of us probably is Matzos. There's such a girsa out there which was mitzvos. So mitzvos meant you lifted the whole plate, not just the matzos, but all the mitzvos, which included the maror and the beis tefshilin, you lift the entire plate up. Belinir, but personally, Rashbam thought, chotvin misalkin es alechem, you meant to remove the bread miyad hatinokos, take it away from them. Shelo yehi yishonu mitoch ma'ichel harbe kederech hatinok acha chilasa v'shelo yishalu. It means they're starting to eat the meal, and they're going to eat a lot more, and they're going to get very tired. You don't want them to stuff their face, not be able to make the mitzvah later on. So therefore, we take away the food so they don't eat too much. Okay, so... Sorry, one second. Okay, so the din, again, there are four different perushim what chotvin means. Either it means to raise the plate of the matzahs, or it means raise the plate of all the mitzvahs, or it means to stuff their face with the matzah, or it means to take away the food so they don't get too stuffed. So then the Gemara says, Tanya, Amru Alava Rabbi Kiva, it was the Brisa says about Rabbi Kiva, Miyamav lo Amar, he gi eslamod be beis medrash. He never said, oh, it's time to get up from the beis medrash. He never said that. I mean, he always stayed in the beis medrash. Chutz, mi ari psachim v'erev yom ha-kippurim, except for these 2 days of the year, Erev Pesach, Erev Yom Kippur, why? Ver Pesach b'shvil tinokos k'dei shelo yishanu. So he should be able to keep the children up. So er Pesach, he had to come there and make sure where Rashbam says, so maybe they should sleep, I think?
Sleeping.
Yeah, exactly. Chutz b'ari Pesachim, he says, k'dei sheyishanu es hatinokos b'yom, to make sure they take a nap. V'lola b'layla b'shah haggadah. Rather than take the nap in the afternoon, this way they don't take a nap, they don't sleep at nighttime during the haggadah. Inami kishim akvin ad halayla la'ach sheyichshach yishanum tinokos. Or he'd make sure they'd stay up until after night, they don't fall asleep at all, to make sure they stay up for the Leil Seder. So those are the one day he would come home from the Beis Medrash. And the second day, the Gemara explains, Verva Yom HaKippurim, Kadesh Yachilu Es Benin. This way he could feed the children. What's the reason for feeding the children? So either it's so they're Mekayim the Mitzvah, because it's a special Mitzvah of eating Erev Yom Kippur, or it's to help them fast better for those who reach the Eitz HaChinuch to fast better on Yom Kippur itself. Okay, so there's a look at the top Tosos. Dibur Masel Chutz Mi'Arvi Pesachim. He writes, "Hachi Garsin Rabbeinu Shmuel." It's referring to Erev Pesach. Lo Nihara didn't seem to be that way according to Tosos. Zatu Lo Yuchul LaAshem Bilo Avim. They needed the fathers to tell them to go take a nap in the afternoon. It doesn't make any sense. Tell their mothers to put them to sleep. Or on their own to take a nap. Why do they need their fathers to tell them? The Tam Sheni Shapir Shema Yakfu Achi Yichsha Harbe. Maybe they're going to end up sleeping into the nighttime. Imkain Lo Yitzuich and Lamur Bayom. He doesn't need to come home in the daytime. Kim Belayla, he'll come in the nighttime. And when it comes to bedtime, make sure they don't go to sleep. What's the importance of coming home during the daytime? So therefore, the Tosafos has a different gear. So Lechach Nira Degaris Lele Pesachim, not Arve Pesachim, but Lele Pesachim, the night of Pesach. Vahayu Regilim Bebeis Medrash. They would be common to go to the Beis Medrash Lel Pesach. The Beis Medrash Leil Yom Tov, not Pesach Dafka, but all Yom Tovim. Kedamrin, the Gemara in Beitza says, Ma'isa b'Shimon ha'Temani shelo yibab b'Leil Yom Tov l'Beis Medrash. L'machar matzu Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. So this is the din. Apparently, Leil Yom Tov, even Leil Pesach, which seems to be very difficult, that even Leil Yom Pesach they would learn at night. So the din here, it's talking about nothing to do with preparations for Leil Seder. Rather, there's a special halacha that Leil Yom Tov they would go learn in the Beis Medrash. That it happens to be, when it comes to Pesach, there seems to be an inyan that after we finish the Seder, a person should learn the Midrashim that are relevant to the Makos and the entire Yetzias Mitzrayim. They should learn through Leil Pesach as much as possible, ideally till the morning, but it's almost impossible for people, and this is real kochos, to really do that. But apparently there's a special din every Leil Yom Tov to learn the Beis Medrash, and that's what the Gemara was referring to about Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, 10 lines from the top, Tanu Rabbanan. Chayv Adam, there's a mitzvah that a man should be able to be mesamech, bring joy to his children, to his grandchildren on Yom Tov. And the pasuk says you're supposed to rejoice on the Yom Tov. How, in what way are you be mesamech your family? Through drinking wine. Yehuda Omer, anoshim b'roi lehem, v'noshim b'roi lehem. No, everyone to whatever they please. Not wine for everybody. Women don't like wine typically. Anoshim b'roi lehem b'yayin. What do men like? Men like wine. So you're mekayim the mitzvah of simcha through wine. V'noshim b'mai. How are women mekayim the mitzvah of simcha? Tani Rav Yosef b'bavel b'bigdei tzivonim. When it came to bavel, nice colored clothing. Baritz Yisrael b'bigdei pishan mugatz, and very nice, fine material. What's like? Linen, nice linen material, that's what was considered a chash of beged in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, well, before we get to the Gemara, Tosos has the following question. From here we see, in fact, women are chayv in Simcha. Simcha is a mitzvah saseh, she has man grama. So there's a Gemara in Kedushin which says, how do we know women are pater in general mitzvah saseh, she has man grama? Because tefillin is a special limud that women are pater from tefillin. And just like tefillin is a mitzvah asei shehazman grama, we learn all other mitzvahs asei shehazman grama, women are pater in as well. So Tosfos and Kedushin asks, we see in the Gemara Pesachim says, women are chayv in simchum, they're chayv in mitzvahs asei shehazman grama. So maybe we should have the opposite limit and say, just like women are chayv in mitzvahs asei shehazman grama, like simcha, so to all mitzvahs asei shehazman grama, they should be chayv. Why are they exempt? This is Tosfos kasha. So it seems to be a stira in that the chayv in simcha and then the chayv, the pater in tefillin. The Tosa says, women are not chayv in simcha. The men are chayv to be mesameach their wife. The chiv is on the men. the women are just there to be misayaya in the key mitzvah of the man. The man has a chiyuv to do simcha. How they mechayev mitzvah? By the woman accepting nice clothing, that's the way the man is mechayev it. So the woman is just simply misayaya, they're helping, they're assisting the husband's being mechayev the mitzvah of simcha. Good trivia question. Where else do we find this type of din where there's another party playing Puravu. Exactly? Women, Puravu, Gemara, the Ran says that there's no chiv of women of mitzvah of Puravu. They're simply there to be messiah, to assist in the mitzvah of Puravu. What other mitzvah has to do with women? It's only according to some poskim when it comes to sukkah. Sleeping in the sukkah in general, which one sleep in the sukkah? So the question, when somebody's married, so what are they supposed to do? The wife sleeps in the house, they sleep in the sukkah, or the wife sleeps with them in the sukkah. So there's one opinion that says that the woman's supposed to sleep in the sukkah with them. Kain tadiru. You're supposed to have a sukkah the way you sleep in the house. That's the way you're supposed to sleep in the sukkah. But women are pater from sitting in the sukkah. So they explain, no, women are pater, you're right, but women have to sleep in the sukkah to assist the men and be mekayim their mitzvah of kain tadiru, of sleeping in the sukkah. These are three mitzvahs, at least that I'm aware of, that women are bim misayaya in the man's of the mitzvah. So simcha is one of these examples. So then the Gemara goes on to say, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Bizmancha Beis HaMikdash Kayim Ein Simcha El Babasar. During the times of Beis HaMikdash, the only way to be Mekayim mitzvah was through eating meat. Shenemar V'Zavachta Shlamim V'Achalta Sham V'Samachta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. Whole long pasuk. You shech the Shlamim and then you eat it there and then you resamech. So through eating the Shlamim, you're Mekayim the mitzvah of Simcha. V'achshav, however, nowadays, she'ein beis hamikdash kaim, where of course we don't have the beis hamikdash and there's no shlamim, ein simcha ela b'yayin. The only way to be mekayim the simcha is yayin. She'nemar, v'yayin yisamach lev, levav enosh. That yayin brings simcha. So again, during the beis hamikdash times, simcha was the way to bring about simcha. Nowadays, it's yayin that brings about simcha. So the problem is, the Rambam writes that nowadays, how is one mekayim the mitzvah simcha? Through basar v'yayin. The Farshim asks, what do you mean? The Gemara clearly says here, Basar was only an Indian of Simcha during the times of Beis HaMikdash, when we had Shlomim. Nowadays, the only way you're Mekayim the Mitzvah of Simcha is through Yayin. How does Rambam go ahead and say, you're Chayav the Mitzvah of Basar as well? So the Yamcha Shlomo writes that when it says Yayin, it's not coming to exclude Basar, it's coming to add on to Basar. In the times of Beis HaMikdash, the only thing you needed was meat alone. Nowadays, meat alone isn't enough. You still need meat, but you need meat coupled with yayin. You need both of them together. So what it means to say is you need yayin also in addition to basar. But the ikar key mitzvah of simcha b'zman tzeah is also basar. Yayin is added to that. That's how the Yamcha Shlomo answers it. The Bach writes, no, really, there is a mitzvah. The ikar mitzvah b'zman tzeah is really yayin. There's also basar. I mean, everybody agrees that the Rambam says basar. Yain is just adding on to basar. In addition to basar, there's a mitzvah of yain as well. There's machlokas bach yam shoshoma, which one becomes the ikr bizman hazeh. Is it the basar that's ikr, and yain is there just adding on, enhancing the basar? Or really, as the Gemara says, ein simcha ela yain. Yain is really the ikr bizman hazeh. Basar is something that enhances the wine. So two opinions how to interpret the Shita Sarambam. Now, Tosas, the Rambam also writes that Bizman Hazeh, Simcha is a din deraisa. And Tosas Moed Katan writes, Bizman Hazeh, it's a din derabanan. So there's Mashma from the Gemara here which says, Ein Simcha ela bebasar, shenemar v'zvachta, shalmim v'achalta, shalmim v'zvachta, v'zvachta, v'zvachta. Sounds like the way midaraisa to be mekayim Simcha on Yom Tov is dafka through shalmim. So I understand why the Tosas Moed Katan writes, Bizman Hazeh, where there's no Shlamim, there's no mitzvah deraisa anymore. It's all a mitzvah derabanan. How does the Rambam, however, write that it's a mitzvah deraisa Bizman Hazeh still? So Shai Gezari explains, when we say these different examples of simcha, clothing and basar, these are just examples how to become simcha. It's not a very rigid way. They're examples. Simcha is something subjective, however a person enjoys it. The Gemara says, men like wine, women like clothing. Men like meat. So whatever really, you know, is your taste, that's what's going to be simcha. So even bizman hazeh, even though there's no shlamim, you can still be mekayim simcha deraisa, because whatever makes you happy, whatever type of steak, whatever type of wine it is, that makes you happy, you're mekayim the mitzvah deraisa. And the Tosfos thinks, no, the pasuk says, the only way to become simcha, it's very rigid, simcha is only achieved through shlamim. So that's the machlokas, whether it's an objective or a subjective definition of simcha.
So So a vegetarian can rely on the Shagas Arya and he doesn't want to eat meat.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
I'm getting great. Yeah. This salad is just what I'm looking for.
Yeah, if that's your taste, certainly, yeah. That's also brought down in Shabbos that Mishabur writes is a big Indian to have fish on Shabbos. A number of reasons why. But he says if you don't enjoy fish, so don't have fish because it's not Onik Shabbos. Shabbos is supposed to be something that Onik, something that's enjoyable to you. So there might be big in Yonim of the fish connected to Tzadikim and whatever other might deep connections there are. But if you don't enjoy it, then there's no Indian Onik Shabbos. So Shagas Arya would say the same thing when it comes to the Yom Tov. If you don't enjoy meat, so then you're not Mekayim. And according to Tosos, Lechor, Tosos would say, no, Simcha is achieved. Whether you like it or not, you have to eat that basar, shamim, to be mekayim the mitzvah of a Simcha. So says the Gemara now, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. This next Gemara is quite technical and challenging. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kasta de morisa de hava b'tzipura. There was this particular measurement that they had in a place called Tzipura, Havas kemin luga de mekadshe. This utensil, what does the article say about, what was this called exactly? This casta de morisa?
They didn't translate.
They didn't translate? Really? Wow. Okay.
It's a casta to measure fish fat.
Okay, fish fat. Okay, casta. Okay. They used to measure fish fat. And this exactly was the kemin luga de mekadshe. This was what was used for a log, a particular shear of kiddush. Uba misharin revi isha pesach. And this was what was used to measure how much a revius is for Pesach. So you see there's an in to measure a revius. I know in my in-laws' house, they have these little cups that you measure exactly to have everyone have the right exact maror, and everyone things like pre-packaged and the leaves, how much to have. And so they used to do the same thing for wine, because if you have a large cup of wine, I at least get big headaches when I have too much wine. Certainly any of that grape wine, it gives me big headaches. They used to measure exactly what was a revius to make sure you're mekayim the mitzvah. So this kasta was what was used for measuring the revius of yayim. Now, Rabbi Yochanan tamniyasa kadmaisa dai b'taveria. So it was a particular measurement. Also, kadmaisa was a measurement. Tamniyasa is what, an eighth, I guess. Kadmaisa is how they're interpreting it there.
No, that's the tamniyasa is the noun.
Okay, that's the noun. Okay.
And I guess kadmaisa means the original.
The original, like
the original tamniyasa.
Okay, the original tamnaisa, the Hava Teveria, another type of measurement, Hava Yisera al Da Riva. It was an extra add on to a riva, a fourth of tamnisa. How are they interpreting that one there? Rashram adds Hava Yisera al Da Tamnaisa. It was added on to a tamnasa. Uba Mishara and Revisha Pesach. This particular measurement, whatever, again, I don't know exactly what these things were, but this measurement that was used in Teveria, that was what was used for measuring Revis. So it's very hard for us to relate this. How are we supposed to measure? We don't have these. We don't have a kasta. We don't have a tamniyasa. So comes along Rav Chista. He gives us a very good way to measure what a revius is. So I'm Rav Chista. Revius shel Torah, etzba'im al etzba'im, two fingers by two fingers. Birom etzba'im v'chatzi etzba v'chomish etzba, and the height of it is going to be two fingers and a half and a fifth of a finger. So, that's how you add your fingers up and raise them up, and then you have the measurement of, not so much, really. It's really not so large. You're like, this is like the width, I guess, where they overlap, and the height is a little bit higher, would have half a finger higher than my fingers are. It's really not so much when you do this measurement. So Gemara is going to say, how do we know this? So this price, I'm going to just read through shot. It's going to be almost impossible to figure out all these calculations. You'll see in a moment. So how do they know this was the measurement? Two fingers by two fingers, and the height being two and a half and a fifth finger. Kidetani, the Raisa says, V'rochatz b'mayim es kol b'saro. You're supposed to wash your entire body in the mayim, talking about going to the mikvah. Shelo yehe davar chotzeitz bein b'saro l'mayim. B'saro teaches me that b'saro, there can't be any chatzitas between the skin and the water. B'mayim teaches me. B'mei mikvah has to be in particular special types of water. B'mayim, the water of b'mei mikvah. S, kol b'saro. Mayim shekol gufo ola behen. Has to be mayim that the entire body can fit in the water. So how much, what's the size does a mikvah fit for a person to fit in there? B'kamahin, how big does the mikvah have to be? So the Gemara says, the Chacham knew that amma al amma barom shalosh amos. So one amma by one amma. So that's an amma, is like from the elbow to the middle finger to the end. That's an amma. And this, like, that would be the width. And then the height has to be three amos high. Right? The Gemara says, Rabrom, the height, shlosh amos. So that's the measurement they Chachamim knew had to be the size of mikveh to fit someone inside. V'shi'aru Chacham, the Chacham said, what does that mean in terms of volume? Shir me mikveh arbaim says. They came to the conclusion that it comes out to be 40 sa'. So there's a very long Rashbam here, which does a number of calculations, how to figure out from the 40 sa' to get to 2 by 2 etzbaos for revis. He multiplies it, he divides it by 16, and then a whole long thing, which I tried to try to figure out, and I didn't fully get in the end, and let alone try to tell you over what it really meant, but I have all these like interesting graphs here. I feel you have those, so okay, fine. So I have a bunch of these things here. So I guess those who are interested try to go through these technical equations. They're not like high math. It's just very strange how the calculation came about. So this is the source of revis being 2 by 2 by 2 and a half and a fifth. So says the Gemara, Kuf Tesim Abayz, two lines down, Amar. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Li, Rabin Bar Chinina. So Rav Chinina said to Rav Ashi, Shulchan shall mikdash shall prakam haba. I know that the Shulchan, the table that was in the base of Mikdash, had to be shel prakam, had to be something that could be broken up in pieces. It wasn't one piece of gold etched together. It was actually different components that they put together and they could be removed as well. How does he know this? If they would have been mamish attached to each other in one piece, amasa ba masa hecha matabala, how could you put it into the mikvah? So Rashbam says, all the way towards the bottom, seven lines from the bottom of the Rashbam. Heichi matzim matbilei hoil v'rachbo ama b'kli shehu ama al ama. So since the width is going to be an ama, the width of a mikvah is only an ama, and a kli that's an ama by ama, the mikvah hayasham b'azara. There's a mikvah there in the azara kedisa b'seder yuma, or inami ba'ama samayim. The ama samayim that was a little like channel of water that went through the base of Migdash. Shebazara, shebamat bilin klisharis shenitmu, any klisharis that became tame, they would be tovel in that amasamayim that would pass through the azara. But you saw rachba ama, and that ama, this amasamayim, that little pass, the water passing through, was only an ama wide. While shem kach nikras ama, that's why it was called an ama, kiditan the numa, elu elu misarvin ba'ama, fine. And lashon rishon, he prefers lashon rishon. All this, so if the shulchan was only an ama wide, how is it able to fit? The measurements didn't work out. It wouldn't fit into the mikvah. If the mikvah was amma by amma, the shulchan was bigger, it couldn't fit into the mikvah. And if the channel of water passing through was only an amma wide, the shulchan couldn't fit into the mikvah. So it must be that they had to be able to take apart the shulchan in order to be tovet if it ever became tameh. That's the conclusion that Rabin Bar Chinna came to, which he said to Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi responds, my kasha, what's your kasha? Why is that so clear that the shulchan was something that had to come apart? Dilma b'yamsha also shlomo havamat bilei. There was a special yamshel shlomo. There was a water, large mikvah that was made by shlomo. In addition to the mikvah there, there was a very large one, and that's where they were able to be tovel in it. Ditani Rabbi Chia yamsha also shlomo machzik mea v'chamisha mikvah tara. This water, this sea, if you will, it's called a yam. This sea that shlomo made, which was a mikvah, was able to hold 150 mikvahs. So that's what it's saying. Wow. That's a pretty large mikvah that he made. So that's where, if the shulchan ever became tamei, that's where there would be tovel, and not necessarily that you'd have to take apart the shulchan. Okay, now new topic. The Gemara talks about something completely different, and the Gemara goes on, which we're not going to finish today, but a whole long discussion about shadim, mazikin, different things like that. Mystical types of halachas. So the Gemara says, "Lo yifchasu lo me'arba." Misha, all the way back in the beginning of Ari Pesachim, tells us that one is not allowed to have any less than four cups on Leil Pesach, and even an ani, afilo ani shematamchoy, has to also find the means to get these arba kosos. The Gemara says, "Heichi mesakni rabbanon." How they're been able to make such a takana? Mi de da'asa bali de sakana. Something that might lead to a sakana. So what's the sakana? You're having four cups of wine. What, you're going to get too drunk? What's the concern here? So it says the Gemara that Hatanya lo yochal adam trei, a person cannot eat something of two. Lo yishtet trei, he can't drink two cups of something. Lo yikanech trei, what, he can't clean. In terms of clean, you can't clean with too much of cleaning, like what, with two napkins? What does that mean, clean with two? Just two times, two... Something of two, okay. V'lo yaseh tzrach of tree, a person shouldn't have tashmish two times. So we see from here, so anything in twos or anything that's an even number, one's not allowed to do because that is a sakana. It's something called zugos. You can't have pairs. Anything, any multiples of two you can't have. So how did the chacham, how were they able to come along and say that you have four cups of wine? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Kra, Leil Shimurim, Leil HaMishumar, Uba Min HaMazikin. No, the pasuk says Leil Shimurim, it's a night of protection, and therefore we're protected from Mazikin. You're right, in general they could not be Misakin, a mitzvah that had something that were, multiples of two, but Leil Shimurim, Pesach is very different. Now because of this pasuk, because of this Gemara, this teaches a lot of other dinim, where the night of Pesach, we do away with a lot of things which are normally there for Shemira, we do away with. Which are, we don't say main Sheva. The end of Mar, we normally say main Sheva. So Pesach night, it had been the custom, I'm not sure if the shuls do this or not, but no, we don't say main Sheva, right, on Yontif. So the Torah writes that we don't say main Sheva. Normally main Sheva is after Mar, after Vayechulu, we say that little Magen Avos. That's because people who came in late to davening, the Shemona Esrei may have went a little bit longer. We don't want them to be stuck in shul by themselves and walking home, so we extended a little bit longer davening, this everybody leaves together. It's still very relevant in Europe these days, unfortunately. Very hard to walk home alone. Everyone has to like quietly go home, very quietly. And so for that, but on Pesach, Leil Shimurim writes the Torah, you don't need to say Me'ein Sheva because the Shmir already exists. Rama writes, after Kriyat Shema Alamita, we don't have to say the Psukim that are there for the Shmir of the nighttime. You don't need to say those things because Leil Shimurim. It's brought down also that's why we open the door when we say Shvo Chamascha to show that we're Botech and Hashem, He's going to protect us, and therefore we open the door to show that as a display for our Leil Shimurim. And one other thing I saw in a tshuva brought down the back of the Sifta, he writes that there's a discussion, the Gemara Nida talks about having an egg that's removed the shell of an egg, it doesn't have a shell of it, left out overnight, it's a Ruach Ra, you can't have an egg that was left overnight with the shell removed. So he wants to know, what if you left it overnight on Leil Pesach? Is that going to be concerned? Or do we say, no, Leil Shimurim, we're protected, and one can have this egg if it was left out overnight. Becomes very relevant. You have the egg we put on the Seder plate, so usually the shell is on it anyways, but let's say you remove the shell from it, and you wanted to use it for the next night, let's say for the Seder plate, or people have the custom, my family has the custom to have eggs, to dip the eggs, and to actually eat the eggs on Leil Seder, so let's say happened to remove the shell, and it was left out overnight, are you allowed to have it the very next day or not? So he right, he wasn't sure. He's mistopic whether you apply the halacha there as well. Okay, says the Gemara now, that's the first answer. The first answer is that Leil Shimurim, you can have multiples of two, it doesn't apply to Leil Pesach. Rav Amar, Kol Shabracha mitztarif l'tova, ve'eino mitztarif l'ra. No. When it comes to a Kol Shabracha, that can never be something that can be mitzarif into something bad. A Kol Shabracha is completely protective of anything bad happening. And Ravina Amar, Arba Kase Takina Rabbanon Derech Heres. He gives a third answer. The four cups of wine were misakein by the Rabbanon for Derech Heres. Kol Chad V'chad Bifnei at Mitzvah Be'apeh Nafshehu. So that each mitzvah was on its own. So it's only when you're drinking one cup after the next cup. But these four cups were actually individual mitzvahs b'fnei atzmo, and you cannot couple them together. So some Achronim ask the question, how every Friday night, not every Friday night, but those who say benching a la kos, we end up having two kosos on a Friday night. We have one kos for Leil for the Kiddush, and another kos for benching. The same thing can happen also on Shabbos day during lunchtime. You have a Kiddush, and then you would say benching afterwards on a kos. That's two. Isn't that a problem? And you don't have the answer of Leil Shimurim, but the other two answers you do have. A kos shabrach, we said, is not mitzayif to something bad, so it's not a concern. And the other one is when it comes to two different mitzvahs, so if the arba kosos are viewed by the Gemara as four different mitzvahs, certainly Kiddush and benching are going to be viewed as two separate mitzvahs. Okay, so we'll stop here. I know quite early. But all right, we'll pick up tomorrow some of the interesting Mazikin stuff tomorrow.